If you're excited to be in God's presence this morning, shout a living hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the privilege of seeing another day. Thank you for the privilege of seeing another day. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. I'd like you to desire from the Lord in person. Lord, I need a fresh encounter with the spirit of wisdom today. Now you see, wisdom is profitable to direct. The principal benefit of wisdom is sound direction. Knowing which way to go, what steps to take, and what right things to do. And that comes by the signal of the Holy Spirit more often than none. So I'd like you to lift up your hands and desire from the Lord a fresh baptism of the spirit of wisdom that will open up the new phase of your life. Go ahead and pray that prayer. Lord, I desire from you today a fresh baptism of the spirit of wisdom that will open me up to the next phase of my life. Lord, I desire a fresh encounter today with the spirit of wisdom that will open me up to the new phase of my life. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. The desires of the righteous shall not be cut off. That desire shall return with you today as a testimony. And this morning I'll be taking us on the supremacy of divine wisdom, part 3. I'd like to really please admonish every one of us, reach out for the tapes, the wisdom tapes of this month, particularly part 1, part 2 of supremacy of God's wisdom. Supremacy of God's wisdom. It will help us a lot in fulfilling God's ordained glorious destiny for our lives. Amen. That precious daughter from Spain said, herself and the husband cried, and that same night, the bleeding ceased. And one of the teachings on the breakthrough night, I was sharing with you on the wisdom of shouting. Amen. You can shout down the walls of Jericho. When I cry, then shall my enemies turn back. These I know, because God is for me. Psalm 56 and verse 7. So there is wisdom in crying out. The cry of the spirit. We always confuse the oppositions and we secure you the attention of heaven. So those three tapes, they are all power packed. They will help you a lot in moving into the fullness of God's plan. Supremacy of Divine Wisdom, part 3. Let me start by again reminding us of the definition of wisdom that we have been working with since this month began. Wisdom is knowing the right way to go, the right steps to take, and the right things to do. Like I said, wisdom is knowing the scriptural way to go, the scriptural steps to take, and the scriptural things to do. Now, knowing the scriptural way to go, the scriptural steps to take, and the scriptural things to do. You know, we're talking about God's wisdom. And the number 3 perspective of that is knowing the spiritual way to go. That is, the way to go as signaled by the Spirit of God, the spiritual steps to take, and the spiritual things to do. And more often than not, the spiritual thing to do may not be the most rational thing to do. In quite some cases, it is the most irrational thing to do. Now, by the signal, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said to them at Cana of Galilee, "We have no wine." And he said, "Okay, start filling the water pot with water." No, did you hear what we said we want? We want wine. And what are you asking us to put in the pot? You said water. Maybe you didn't hear us. Excuse me. It is wine we want. And you are saying, fill the pot with water. They are not the same. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, the same is a wise man. Now, so that was God's wisdom, but very irrational. He does not appeal to common sense because it's not common. Knowing the way to go, knowing the steps to take, knowing the things to do, and doing them, that is wisdom. In John chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Give ye them to eat." And this is said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. What would you do in the desert? You want bread for 5,000 men minus women and children? What do you want to do in the desert? But he knew the spiritual thing to do. So he told them, make them sit down in 50s. It's time to eat. And they sat down. What will happen now? Then he lifted up his eyes and gave thanks. And the catering services in heaven went into operation. And within splits of seconds, baskets of bread and baskets of fish landed on the earth and landed in each place, and they all ate and were fed. So God's wisdom is superior to natural wisdom, is superior to intellectual wisdom. God's wisdom causes supernatural waves when employed. The most pronounced virtue of wisdom is direction. Sound direction. Sound direction. The spiritual thing to do. The scriptural things to do. The right things to do. The things to do. So there are in four levels. Knowing the way to go, knowing the right way to go, knowing the scriptural way to go, and knowing the spiritual way to go. For instance, there is no altar in the Bible. So this is the place came by a spiritual signal. By what? The name of your company is not in the Bible. Is it in the Bible? Okay, show me where is it. By spiritual signal, we locate spiritual direction that qualifies us to cause supernatural waves in our various endeavors. Now, we got to this bush, and the Lord said to me, "This is the place." Now, that is most irrational, great for farming, but very poor thinking for church. There is no train service. There was not one single bus. And this is the place. For what? For church. Are you deaf? Then who comes here? Knowing the scriptural way to go, knowing the spiritual way to go, knowing the scriptural steps to take, and knowing the spiritual steps to take, knowing the scriptural things to do, and knowing the spiritual things to do. You see, this is the hallmark of God's wisdom. Many years ago, we used to have some chapels in Kaduna. We called them satellite chapels. There was Metro Chapel, there was Expressway Chapel in Tudunwada, there was Banawa Chapel, there was all kinds of chapels. There were about five of them. It was rational to do that. But it wasn't right to do it. And then came the Spirit of God and said, "No, I didn't send you that." Amen? And the church in Kaduna today is another heaven on earth. About 24,000 people worship in that church every Sunday. by knowing the spiritual way to go. See your small church here. By knowing the spiritual way to go, it keeps causing waves around the world. Why is there no church in the old facility? It is not commanded. My prayer is this, that no one will miss out of this baptism of the spirit of wisdom, that will constantly help you in knowing the scriptural steps to take and send you signals in knowing the spiritual way to go at all times. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. Supremacy of God's wisdom. It's crucial for us to know that the wisdom of God empowers us to live above circumstances. Come and say, living above circumstances. Not everyone in this world is living under circumstances. An army of men are on this earth today who are living practically above circumstances. And that's what God's wisdom confers on us. Listen to this very carefully. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who has built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew against that house, and he could not bring it down because it was founded upon the rock. It was standing above the prevailing circumstances. The prevailing circumstances could not affect it, could not bring it down, because it was founded upon the rock. So the wisdom of God from that narrative of Christ empowers you and I to live above circumstances. So the things that bring others down cannot bring you down. The things that harass, molest, and devastate others cannot affect you, because you are operating on the wavelength of God's wisdom. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who has built his house upon the rock. The rain, the flood, the wind, notwithstanding, he will remain in his position. His position will not be affected. He will stand taller than circumstances. He will live far above circumstances. Now, you see, that is God's wisdom. It enables you to live above sicknesses. Amen. You do what he tells you to do, sickness will respect your authority. You do what he tells you to do, failure will bow to you. You do what he tells you to do, lack and want will leave you alone. You do what he tells you to do, you will enjoy peace like a river. That's it. That is God's wisdom in action. It empowers you and I to live above circumstances. And I need for us to know that by redemption, you and I are positioned to live above circumstances. So wisdom only enables us to actualize it. How do I mean? When you are born again, the Bible says that you have been raised up together with them. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. And you are made to sit together with them in heavenly places. So positionally, by redemption, you are seated in Christ in heavenly places. And Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 says, that place is located far above all principalities and powers who are the creators of situations and circumstances. You understand what I'm saying? You seated far above the factories, of situations and circumstances, because the principalities and the powers, the rulers of this wicked world and wicked spirits in high places, they are the factories that produce situations and circumstances. And the Bible said you are living, seated in heavenly places far above them. So positionally, by redemption, you are created to live above circumstances. Or let me say this, you are recreated, you are regenerated to live above situations and circumstances. You are regenerated to live above situations and circumstances. All that this instrument of wisdom does is to empower you to actualize that status. That's where you belong. That's where you belong. And I'd like you to know that you are sitting in heavenly places does not exclude you from warfare. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. There was war in heaven. Where was it? There was war in heaven. Satan fought. Michael fought with his angels. And Satan also fought, but prevailed not. The guarantee in heavenly places is that every warfare is decided in your favor. That is, Satan is not permitted to prevail where you are sitting. That in the help, that is, war is permitted, but victory is guaranteed. I said, war is permitted, but victory is guaranteed. I said, war is allowed, but victory is guaranteed. I said, war is permitted, but your victory is guaranteed. There was war in heaven, and Satan prevailed not. Neither was there any place found for him in heaven. War is permitted, but your victory is guaranteed. I'd like you to please take note of that. Even though you are sitting in heavenly places, recognize that war is permitted. It's only that your victory is guaranteed. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. And the Bible said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him. So you are on an overcomer's platform. When you have been redeemed, it is your birthright to overcome. I said, it's your birthright to overcome. I said, it is your birthright to overcome. That's all we are trying to look at this morning. That look, God's wisdom empowers you to live above circumstances. You are positioned to live above circumstances. He empowers you to actualize that position in reality. And that's where we're going. There was war in heaven, but Satan prevailed not. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and all that dwell therein. Because where you dwell, Satan cannot prevail. I said, where you dwell, Satan cannot prevail. So whatever has been prevailing, as it were, this is your month of total victory. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. Whatever has been prevailing, as it were, against you in any area of your life, this is your month of total victory. 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 So the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 down the line helps you and I to understand that even though we are faced with war, our victory is sure because we are privileged to be among them that dwell in heavenly places. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and all that dwell therein. Verse 12. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein. So God recognizes that there are some people that are dwelling in heavenly places now. That is Revelation 12, 12. You start from verse 7 of chapter 12, and you read down the line, and you see the beauty. Amen? The beauty, you read down the line up until verse 17. It helps you to know that your victory. So when you carry that victory consciousness, it enhances your spiritual confidence. Where I am dwelling, robbers are not permitted to prevail. When I hear a knock on my door, I say, who is that? I say that with confidence because you understand the platform from where you are operating. When sickness knocks on your door, say, shut up, because you understand the platform upon which you are operating. That's what he does. Satan has no legal right to prevail where you are seated. So rejoice. Can I hear you shout a living victory? Hallelujah. Jesus is God's wisdom personified. So whatever he did was God's wisdom in action. Jesus is God's wisdom personified. And we know that because in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was the instrument that God engaged in creation. Because when you check down the line in verse 14, he said, and the Word became flesh. John 1:14, and dwelt among us. So he's talking about Jesus. He's the living Word of God. The Word became flesh. So Jesus was the instrument of creation that God engaged. And what does that imply? The Bible says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. And if Jesus was the instrument he engaged, then Jesus was the wisdom of God personified. He was wisdom personified. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding has he established the heavens. That is Proverbs 3:19. So Jesus was God's instrument of creation. And the Bible said it was wisdom that God engaged in creating the world. So Jesus was wisdom personified. Now look at Psalm 104 and verse 24. Psalm 104 verse 24. How manifold are thy works, O God! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is also full of thy riches. So all of God's creation is a product of God's wisdom. And if Jesus was that instrument, then Jesus is wisdom personified. Is somebody hearing what I'm talking about? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, he said, Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. So, Jesus is God's wisdom personified. What does that mean? So, whatever he did was God's wisdom in action. Whatever he did was God's wisdom in action. So when we do what he did, we are sure to command the same results as he did. That's why the Bible said, he set for us examples that we should follow in his steps. That we should follow in his steps. Looking on to Jesus. I mean, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. Christ also having suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So when we do what he did, we will see what he saw. When we will do, well, if we do what he did, we will touch whatever he touched. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If you want to experience true victory. When you are confronted, look at how Jesus will approach it, and then approach it that way, and you get the same result. Living above circumstances is the ultimate of God's wisdom. That is what God intends His wisdom to generate in our lives. The ability to live above circumstances as empowered by His wisdom. And whatever He tells you to do, do it. And Jesus does not only just teach us, He shows us the things He began both to do and to teach. He was preaching, that is teaching, and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. So we draw from what He says, and we draw from what He did. So it is the two-way lesson from His examples and from His principles. A combination of His principles and His examples will confer on you compound wisdom. This is how to do it. That's the way to go. He's our living example. When we do what He did, we are sure to command the same results as He did. Listen to this. In raising Jairus' daughter, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 40, Jesus put out everybody and entered into that room with Peter, James, and John. Now in Acts chapter 9 and verse 40, Acts 9:40, when Peter was going to raise Lydia from the dead, he put all of them out the same way Jesus did and got the same kind of result. Is somebody getting that understanding? Very important for us to know the clarity of your vision notwithstanding, it takes the wisdom of God to see it fulfilled. And we look at it briefly this morning, what to do when your destiny comes under threat. When the billows of life are beating hard, when the climate is increasingly becoming harsh, what to do? Or let's read Luke chapter 8, there in various scriptures. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. Luke 8, starting from verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. So their destination was defined. This was a signal of the Holy Spirit. For I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, so I judge. So whatever Jesus did was as he heard it from God. So this step they were taking was by the signal of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now this is God saying, go over to the other side of the lake. And this is the storm rising to say, you'll never get there. Remember, a great day and a great door and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. God is saying, it's time to go over to the other side of the lake. And the devil is saying, I'll meet you on the sea. Let's see how you get there. Now, look at what happened. Now, it came to pass, well, the Bible said, but they were in great jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. You will get to the other side. Your inheritance in Christ is a reality. The same way the opposition on the way is a reality. Situations and circumstances that are organized by the devil to stop you from crossing over to the fullness of your inheritance, they are also real. But Jesus did something. The Bible said, Jesus arose. He arose. He rose up to the task. He wasn't wondering. But Storms, don't you know I'm here? He arose. Jesus arose. As long as you are asleep, you remain a victim. Jesus arose. He rose up to the task. No way we are getting to the other side. He arose. Two, he rebuked the storm and the raging of the water, and there was calm. He arose. He rebuked. Now, please listen to this. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he shows you to do, do it. Jesus arose. He gathered himself. He quit like men. I'd like us to know that God's wisdom is not passive wisdom. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, the same is a wise man. That family from Spain arose and said, enough, enough, and the bleeding ceased. The storm was there perhaps to take her life. Enough, enough. 2 years of continuous bleeding. Enough. Arose and rebuked the storm and the raging of the water, and there was a calm. It's time for you to arise. As almighty as God is, the Bible says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. If you will not arise, your enemies will regather. Let God arise. So the wisdom of God rises up to the challenges of life. He's not wondering, what is me? How can? I think the reason Goliath fell so cheap was that he was wondering, what can this tiny boy throw that will hit me? I don't even need to defend myself. Wait a minute. This boy, even if they threw him as a person against me, can I die? I mean, and the thing entered his forehead and he fell down flat. Satan came to Jesus in person. Didn't you read Matthew chapter 4? And the Bible says, and Satan taketh him. I said, if you are the Son of God, if he could dare Christ when he knew he was the Son of God, then stop wondering why your destiny is under attack. All you need is wake up. He said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Until you are awake, you cannot win the war. Until you are awake, you cannot win the war. God's wisdom demands that you come awake so you can confront the situations and circumstances that are harassing your destiny. Time to come awake. Until you are awake, you can never win the war. Until you are awake, you can never win the war. Until you are awake, you can never win the war. And they exclaimed in verse 25, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. What manner of man is this? That means rise up and take command. Otherwise, you remain in remand. Rise up and take command. What manner of man is it that he commanded and they obey his voice? What manner of man is this? So when you do what he did, that will be the exclamation of everyone around you. What manner of man is this? 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 So it's important for you to come awake. Those situations and circumstances are not planted by God. God has ordained that to cross over to the other side, to the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. It is the enemy on the way that is determined that you won't get there. So all you do is to counter his determination by engaging your authority in Christ against him. Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? Jesus arose and rebuked the storm and the raging of the water, and there was calm. He arose and rebuked. He said, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. But every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You will condemn it. So you can take command of the situations. You shall condemn. He said, this is the heritage of the sons of God, and their righteousness is for me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 54 verse 17. So you arise and condemn the situations and circumstances, and they will obey your voice. You have lived under circumstances enough. It's time to begin to live above them. Can I hear your loudest amen? What do I use to condemn the situation and circumstances around me? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 14. We saw Jesus on the mount of temptation. It is written. What is it? It is written. It is the word of God that you engage against the oppositions on your journey. It is written. Matthew chapter 4. And when the tempter came to him, verse 3, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Now, verse 6, Satan came and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is what? Written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, look at verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And what happens in verse 11? Then what? The devil leaveth him. Then the devil leaveth him. Then the devil leaveth him. Whatever is holding down any aspect of your destiny, as you engage the written word of God, they will have no choice but leave you alone. Then the devil leaveth him. Then the devil leaveth his family. Then the devil leaveth his business. Then the devil leaveth his children. Now, then the devil leaveth him. What did he engage? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Then the devil leaveth him, and angels came and ministered unto him. I see angels replacing everywhere the devil is hovering around your life. So you arise, and you are not arising to just be jumping about and sweating. You are engaging the word of God as your weapon of offense. Your weapon of offense. And the devil can't stand the authority of the word of God. He cannot stand it. Why? Everything that is created by the word of God. So everything created answers to the authority of the word of God. Can I hear your loud amen? For all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And Satan was part of God's creation. He said, from the day that thou wast created, so he was created. That's why he cannot resist the authority of the word of God. So when you come out with, it is written, that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you engage the it is written weapon, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, Satan has no choice. Because the creature can never resist the authority of his creator. Satan has no choice. That is the story behind the efficacy of the word of God. It is by that word that everything is made. So everything made by it is under his command perpetually. Everything created by the word of God continues to live under the authority of that word continually. Please understand that. That's why you don't toy with it. The Bible said in Psalm 138 verse 2, he has exalted his word far above all his names. Because things were created before they were named. So the word of God is superior to everything. And that is what to engage to disarm the opposition. Hear this. This month is going to be the most exciting month in your life. Beginning from today, as you engage the inspired word of God against every situation and circumstances, they will have no choice but bow to you. They will have no choice but bow to you. It is written. It is written. Then Satan leaveth him. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Then Satan leaveth him. Then Satan leaveth him. That will be your testimony by the close of this month. Everything holding down your fruitfulness will leave you alone. Everything holding down your prosperity will leave you alone. Everything holding down your health will leave you alone. So we engage what is written to write off whatever may be happening. When you engage what is written, you determine the happiness. When you engage what is written, then you determine the happiness. Jesus arose and he rebuked the storm and the raging of the water, and there was calm. He rebuked how? He engaged his authority as the living word. And that living word is what we have as the written word. So we engage the written word to invoke the intervention of the living word. So we can determine the happiness around our life. Can I hear your loud amen? When you engage the written word, your corrupt blood, your diseased blood, will be recreated. When you engage the written word, your deaf ears will be recreated. When you engage the written word, your blind eyes will be reopened. Now see, why? Because everything that is made was made by the word, and everything remains under the command of the word for eternity. Can I hear your loud amen? Jesus rebuked. So he saw a person behind the storm. It was not just the storm. It was a person. Principalities, powers, rulers of this wicked world, wicked spirits in high places. They came into the sea and caused a stir to drown the Messiah. Boat filled with water. If you do, you are bound to sink. As the water is pouring into the boat, say, no! Enough! Enough! It's enough! Is anybody experiencing some kind of storm here and there? I'd like you to be ready now to rebuke it. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, there is a storm around any aspect of your life. You have heard God's word today. I'd like you to open up, lift up your hands and begin to rebuke that storm. Come awake spiritually. No more. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is going to be your calmest week since you were born. Everyone around you will exclaim, what manner of man is this in your direction this month? If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. Lift up your two hands now as we receive the blessing over this communion. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us among other things, the virtues that this mystery communicates. Lord, by the mystery of this communion, cause an encounter with supernatural understanding for everyone in the name of Jesus. Let there be a release of the spirit of wisdom via this communion today in the name of Jesus. Jesus is your wisdom personified. As we partake of his blood and his flesh, let the wisdom of heaven become reflective in everyone's life in the name of Jesus. This is a spiritual toast for your supernatural strength, your divine health, and a seal of your longevity. Every appointment with death is disannulled this morning. Every terminal disease is terminated this morning. In the name of Jesus. It is done. Whatever desire that is in your heart, it is delivered to you for a testimony today. Amen. Lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. Lift up your hands and shout a triumphant hallelujah. Lift up those hands and give him thanks for the encounter he's given you today. Thank him from the depth of your heart. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. He arose and rebuked. The word rebuke is directed to personalities. He rebuked the personality behind the storm. There was a great calm. You heard the testimony last Sunday. Someone that was sick and was dying, and then they came in, anointed her, came in, gave her communion, and she passed a ring. What do I call it? A ring. Planted there by the devil inside her tummy. She excreted a ring, and the storm was calm. The personality behind the attack came under attack, and he surrendered. That same way, God's wisdom will cause everything behind the situation in your life to come down this month. All the doctor saw was fibroid, multiple fibroid, but behind the fibroid was a force. And when the higher force came, the lower force had no choice but give up. Everything harassing your destiny must give up this month. God's word is a two-edged sword. And the sword of the spirit is a weapon of offense. If your position must give up, then we must engage the weapon of offense. It's two-edged. The sense that one side blesses, the other side curses. Amen? The blessing is yours. The curses is for your adversary. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. Who is speaking? God. Genesis 12 3. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So God blesses and God curses. So the word of God blesses and the word of God curses. It's a two-edged sword. I kill and I make alive. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 6. I lay before you life and death, blessings and curses. Make your choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. So it's a two-edged sword. So we engage its courses against the rising circumstances. And so the personalities behind them, we have no choice but surrender. Whatever mocks your destiny is entitled to a curse. Can I hear your loud amen? Whatever mocks your destiny is entitled to a curse. There were 42 children mocking Elisha. Oh boy, oh boy, go up, oh boy. He turned back and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two shepherds came out of the forest and tore all of them. Destroyed them. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. Everything mocking your destiny. Everyone sitting at somewhere waiting for you to crash. Every demonic installation that is against the fullness of God's inheritance in your life comes under a curse today. Stood and cursed them. Now you see, God said, I will curse. So you don't bless circumstances, you curse them. You don't bless situations, you curse them. He said, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Nor you shall pray for. You are too religious for the things you are looking for. Too religious for it. Now listen to me. This is very important. So we engage what is written. And we engage the negative side of what is written against the situation and circumstances. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why? He went there to pick fruit and there was no fruit. Even going there should create fruits on it. Because that is the creator. So for you to refuse to generate fruits, you are cursed. You can't mock my personality. No. He cursed the tree. And it dried up from the roots. Everything harassing your destiny, everything mocking your destiny, will dry up from the root this time. The forces that won't let your career have meaning, that won't let your business go forward, now they are due for a cause this time. The force that won't let you enjoy your children, that will make them a concern to you day and night, whatever those forces are, they come under a cause today. Whatever generates tensions in your home, tensions in your business, tensions in your finances, every storm that's rising against you that won't let you cross to the other side, they come under a curse today in the name of Jesus. This is the wisdom of God in action. God has programmed you for the other side, but it's important for you to know there are raging storms on the way, and you must know how to curtail them, or they will never allow you to get there. You must know how to curtail them, or they never allow you to get there. Whatever's vowed that will not be married comes under a curse today. Whatever has vowed that will not enjoy your married life, that force comes under a curse today. The wisdom of God is not a passive wisdom. It's dynamic wisdom. It does not only teach you how to think. It tells you what to do. If Christ was in the ship and the storm still was raging, then you can imagine what he will plan against you and me. But when we do what he did, we'll be as much in command as he was. So you are in command from today in the name of Jesus Christ. It is written. It is written, it is written. That's your job. So stop watching it. What you don't want, you don't watch. What you don't fight has a right to prevail. What you don't confront, you cannot conquer. So it's time to come awake and stop waiting. God's wisdom does not wait for solutions. It creates them. God's wisdom does not wait for solutions. It creates them. God's wisdom does not wait for solutions. It creates them. The earth was without form and void. And God began to recreate. And God said, he wasn't waiting for the thing to adjust by themselves. He was creating them by engaging his wisdom. This is how the wisdom from above operates. No storm survives in your environment this month. Every storm is giving up on your destiny this month. Every storm is giving up on your family this month. Every storm is giving up on your business and career this month. Every storm is giving up on your health this month. Every storm is giving up on your finances this month. In the name of Jesus. Many years ago, I went to pray in the wilderness, in the forest, in the night. And I began to hear some disturbing noises, you know, some animals jumping down on the tree, getting up and jumping up. Close my eyes, I said, in the name of Jesus. Shh. Whether they flew or they walked or they ran, it became. If I didn't see anything, they wouldn't land on my head. But in the name of Jesus, no torchlight, no nothing. I was just there by myself. There's no point trying to find out, is that a monkey or a leopard? Jesus arose. Jesus did what? Arose. And rebuked. He did not just say, hey, he arose and rebuked the storm and the raging of the water. And there was a calm. He arose and rebuked. He cursed. He condemned. He engaged the word in cursing. He engaged the word in condemning. And then there was a calm. And they got to the other side. You are getting to the other side this month. You are crossing from the side of barrenness to the side of fruitfulness. You are crossing from the side of poverty to the side of prosperity. You are crossing from the side of frustration to the side of celebration. This is your month. The Bible says, quit ye like men and fight. So it's time to fight. It says, fight the good fight of faith. So you can lay hold on eternal life. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. To lay hold on what belongs to you, you must come awake and come awake to fight and fight against the personalities behind the circumstances and rebuke them and condemn them using the written word of God. That's what God's wisdom does. That's how Jesus crossed to the other side. And he said, follow me, and you get there. He said, follow me, I will make you to experience whatever I experience. If Jesus could not be drowned in the midst of the sea, you shall not be drowned. Your businesses shall not be drowned. Your family shall not be drowned. Your finances shall not be drowned. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said, and the wisdom from above, I said it in one of those teachings on Friday night. It's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works. So there is a wisdom from above. It is what we call God's wisdom. It's what we call divine wisdom. The wisdom from above. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 16. The wisdom from above. From above. It defined three other classes of wisdom. Natural wisdom, intellectual wisdom, and diabolical wisdom. And he said, but the wisdom that is from above. So when you engage the wisdom of scriptures, you are engaging the wisdom from above. And John 3:31, whatever is from above is above all. That is what puts you above all circumstances. All circumstances. This morning again, we're here to engage one of God's great wisdom for our triumphant living, the Holy Communion. Amen. And this enables you to live like Christ, for that is his flesh and that is his blood. He said, as the Father sent me and I live by my Father, so whosoever eateth me, even he shall live by me. So when we partake of the communion, John chapter 6 and verse 48 all through down to 56, when we take the communion with a spiritual sense, it infuses the nature of Christ into us so we can experience the same thing he experienced. We begin to live like him. Every injunction of scriptures is a display of divine wisdom. Every. So whatever you find in God's word, whatever he tells you to do, do it. What is this communion out here to offer? Four things. Everybody say four things. Listen to this. Four things. He gave them the bread and their eyes were opened and they knew him. So the veil on your heart and the veil on your mind, every mental blockade is part of God's design for this prescription. Luke 24 and verse 30. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Supernatural understanding. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. So as you partake of this communion, I'd like you to believe God for a baptism of supernatural understanding. Would you believe God for that? And they knew him. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30. We are talking about things to expect. He said, those who took it unworthily, for this reason, some are weak. So the communion is designed for supernatural strength. Say with me, supernatural strength. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. But now I'm dealing on verse 30 only. So the Holy Communion confers supernatural strength. Arise, take and eat, for the journey is long for you. That's what he told Elijah. And he went in the strength of that bread for 40 days. How many days? So it confers supernatural strength. That was angels' food. This is superior to that, according to John 6, 48 to 58. This is superior to that. So this confers supernatural strength. Then he said, some are sickly. That means it confers divine health. Say divine health. And number four, and some sleep. That means untimely death. That means this one confers longevity. Say with me, longevity. Listen to this. Four things are communicated directly from this table according to the wisdom of God. One, supernatural understanding. Two, supernatural strength. Three, supernatural health. And four, divine longevity. You just live on, full of strength and vigor. If that is you, let me hear your loud amen. Whatever is out of order in your system, as you take this communion, it will be recreated. That's what he does. Every injunction of scriptures carries definite profits. And among many other things, the profit of the communion is clearly stated, directly stated in scriptures. What Paul was saying is that this is not what happens when you take the communion, but when you take it unworthily, they happen. The communion is designed to deliver these fundamental virtues. But when you take it unworthily and you take it just anyhow, you may have negative effect on it. That means Your total health is guaranteed here this morning. Whatever was said to be wrong with you, when you check on again, you'll be told it's no longer there. Every ring of evil that is stored up in your system is coming out by force this time. As you partake of this communion, the end has come to every form of struggles in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. You don't watch the storm, you fight it. As long as you are spiritually asleep, you become naturally vulnerable to all satanic assaults. Jesus is Lord. I'd like you to engage yourself spiritually this week. Every storm must be calmed. Every uprising must obey your command. Every uprising must obey your command. I recommended those tapes for you. There are three of them. That is Supremacy of God's Wisdom 1 and 2, and The Wisdom of a Shout. Those three materials plus this teaching this morning will help you take total command of the issues around you. This month is your month of breaking forth. Lift up those hands, go forth and be all that God has created you to be. I decree your supernatural access to the other side. You are crossing over to that other side supernaturally now. Everyone that came here sick, you are returning back home completely made whole. The blood of Jesus has dealt a final blow on every disease in your body. It is done. This week is declared a week of a new chapter. A new chapter for your family. A new chapter for your business. A new chapter for your wife. A new chapter for your husband. A new chapter for your children. A new chapter for your household. A new chapter for your health. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name. There is a great refresher. We follow you to your various home. No evil report is permitted in your direction. Evil shall not be found in your habitation. In Jesus' precious name.